You know, when you look at a highly detailed map of a city, there is this really comforting sense of just, well, total comprehension.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You see the grid of the streets, and you've got the green polygons for the parks, the blue lines for the rivers. It just, I mean, it feels like you hold the entire city right in your hands.
Right, because it provides a perfectly manageable abstraction. You know, like everything is plotted, it's categorized, and it's pinned to a very specific coordinate.
Exactly. But then, you know, you actually travel to that city, and suddenly you're hit with like the smell of roasted nuts from a street cart, or the physical ache in your calves from walking up a really steep hill.
Oh, or just that sudden overwhelming feeling of being completely lost in a massive crowd.
Yes. And you realize your map, as perfect and exact as it was, didn't actually capture the experience of the city at all.
Not even a little bit.
Right. And today we are looking at a philosopher who recognized this exact problem, but regarding human existence.
Well,
And then they decided to solve it by taking the messy, totally unquantifiable meaning of life and forcing it into the cold, hard equations of higher mathematics.
which, I mean, the premise sounds entirely contradictory on its face,
It
right?
really does.
But we are looking at this foundational philosophical text today called The Tao of Lucidity by August Sun. And we're pairing that alongside briefing notes for a series titled Building a Philosophy from Scratch.
Yeah, an incredible stack of sources for us today.
Definitely. And what the author has done is they've attached this incredibly rigorous mathematical appendix to their humanistic philosophy. They actually use a branch of math called measure theory to structure their arguments.
Which brings us to the mission for this deep dive. You, the listener, are someone who wants to understand complex, intimidating ideas, but, you know, without getting bogged down in all that academic jargon.
Right. We're skipping the dense textbook reading here.
It's exactly. Our goal today is to figure out why on earth a philosopher would use something as rigid as measure theory to talk about the fluidity of human experience. Like, what can math perfectly capture? What does it structurally miss? And what is the crucial difference between the map and the actual territory?
Well, to understand why the author relies on measure theory, we really have to look at the core ontology of the text first.
Okay, the baseline reality.
Right. The philosophy argues that reality has two distinct, completely inseparable faces. So the first face is called pattern.
Pattern, imagine.
And pattern is the intelligible, structurable aspect of reality. It encompasses like everything in the universe that can be mapped, modeled, measured, predicted, or compressed into data.
So pattern is basically the domain of the scientific method.
Precisely.
It is the domain of algorithms, of artificial intelligence, physics equations. It's the literal physical grid of that city map we were just talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And pattern is real. It's powerful and it's essential for navigating the world. But the central claim of this philosophy is that pattern is not the entirety of existence. It is paired with a second face, which the author calls mystery.
Right, mystery. And I want to pause here because the sources are very careful to define this this concept of mystery. They are not talking about some mystical woo-woo concept, you know,
No, not at all.
or simply pointing to things that science just like hasn't figured out quite yet.
Right. It's not just a gap in our knowledge. Mystery represents the inexhaustible, unstructurable face of reality. It is the felt quality of experience itself.
Okay, give me an example.
So think of the specific wavelength of light bouncing off a rose.
Okay, so that's pattern.
Yes, that is pattern. You can measure it perfectly, but what it actually feels like to perceive the color red,
Oh, wow.
or, you know, the physical heavy weight of grief, or the sheer awe of holding a newborn baby, that is mystery.
Because you can't put a number on those feelings.
Exactly. These phenomena are not just puzzles waiting to be solved by better instruments. They are structural facts of existence that inherently overflow any finite model or description. And containing both of these faces, the pattern, the mystery, and the constant interaction between them is what the text calls the Tao.
The totality of reality,
Yes.
the whole thing.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if the whole point of this philosophy is that the most profound, meaningful parts of human life are totally unquantifiable, why did the author attach a dense mathematical appendix to the book?
It seems wild, doesn't it?
It does. Isn't using measure theory to explain mystery like, I don't know, trying to use a ruler to measure the concept of love? You're using the super rigid structural tool for a fundamentally non-structural problem.
Well, what's fascinating here is that the author uses formal mathematics not to eliminate the mystery, but to precisely define the boundary between what we can know and what we can only feel.
Wait, say more about that, the boundary. Yeah, so taking your ruler analogy, right? The ruler isn't trying to measure love. The ruler is being used to measure every single physical object in the room very rigorously, so we can definitively point to the empty space left over and say, okay, everything inside these measurements is structural, and everything outside is inexhaustible depth.
Oh, I see. So if mystery resists all definition, how did the author avoid contradicting themselves the second they, picked up a pencil to write the equations?
Because they had to find a branch of math that actually has a built-in symbol for the unknown.
Which is why they chose measure theory.
Exactly. Measure theory is a branch of real analysis. It deals with assigning a size, a volume, or a measure to subsets of a given space. It actually serves as the mathematical foundation for modern probability.
Okay.
And the author represents the tau, the totality of reality, as a mathematical five-duple.
A five-tuple.
Yeah.
A mathematical structure composed of five specific elements. And looking at the sources, they list them as omega, a sigma algebra, a measure, a topology, and an unfolding operator.
That's the list.
We need to walk through these because this is where the philosophy literally becomes math. So let's start with omega. What is that?
Okay, so omega represents the sample space. Conceptually, you can think of omega as the ultimate container. It holds the totality of all beings, all events, all possibilities.
Like absolutely everything.
Everything. If it exists in reality, it is somewhere inside omega.
Okay, got it. Then, inside that massive container of omega, we have the second element, which is the sigma algebra. And that's represented in the equations by a script F, right?
Yes, script F.
Now, if I'm reading this right, a sigma algebra is basically a collection of sets that you can cleanly measure and logically combine using rules.
That's a great way to put it. It is a collection of sets that is closed under certain logical operations. So if you know a set is in the sigma algebra, you also mathematically know its complement, like its omicron.
Oh, okay.
And you can combine these sets infinitely without breaking the system. So in this philosophical framework, that sigma algebra, that script F, is the exact mathematical equivalent of pattern.
I see. So it represents the intelligible structure of reality. Everything that can be known, computed, analyzed, it all sits safely inside the sigma algebra.
Completely.
And before we get to how this handles the unknown part,
yeah,
what are the other three elements doing? The measure, the topology, the unfolding operator.
Right. They basically add the mechanics to the pattern. So the measure, which is usually denoted by the Greek letter mu, is what actually assigns a size or probability to the sets inside the sigma algebra.
Like it weighs the data?
Exactly. It gives it a value. Then the topology provides a concept of nearness or space. It tells us how different elements of reality relate to one another structurally.
Okay, making sense. And the unfolding operator?
That represents time and evolution. It dictates how the whole system transforms from one state to the next.
So the five-tuple creates a complete, mathematically sound universe. We have the container, the logical sets, the weights, the spatial relationships, and the timeline.
Yes, exactly.
But wait. If the sigma algebra only represents pattern, how does this mathematical universe represent mystery? You said it had a symbol for the unknown.
It does, through the concept of non-measurable sets.
Non-measurable sets.
Yes. These are subsets of reality that sit within omega, the big container, but they exist entirely outside the sigma algebra. You physically cannot assign a size, a probability, or a logical structure to them within this system.
Okay, I want to make sure I grasp the gravity of this. In standard math, when we say something is non-measurable, are we just saying our equations aren't sophisticated enough yet? Like maybe we just need a bigger supercomputer in the future?
No, it goes much, much deeper than technological limitations.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In measure theory, non-measurable sets fundamentally resist the very operation of measurement. If you try to force a measurement onto them, like if you try to treat them as pattern, you end up with catastrophic logical contradictions.
Like the math literally breaks.
The math itself breaks down entirely. Which perfectly captures the philosophical claim of the text, right? Mystery isn't just undiscovered pattern. It structurally overflows the framework of pattern itself.
Man, that's wild. So measure theory is basically like a fishing net, where the exact shape and size of the holes are designed specifically to prove to us how much water is slipping through.
Oh, that is a perfect analogy, yes. The net represents the sigma algebra. The knots and the strings are the interconnected logic of pattern. But the net only functions because it is cast into the water, and that water flows through it completely ungrasped.
And the water is the mystery.
The water is the mystery. And the math provides this concept with rigorous structural weight. The text actually formalizes this as postulate three, the dual aspect, meaning pattern and mystery are inextricably intertwined at every single scale of reality.
You know, the sources offer an incredible analogy to show just how much water is slipping through that net. They compare the relationship between pattern and mystery to the relationship between computable and non-computable real numbers.
Yes, that part is so illuminating.
Right. Because computable numbers are those for which we can write a computer program to calculate them to any desired precision.
Like pi, for instance.
Exactly. Pi is computable. We can generate trillions of digits of pi. It feels infinite to us. But mathematically, the set of non-computable numbers, like, you know, numbers that completely defy any algorithmic generation, that set infinitely dwarfs the set of computable ones.
It's staggering to think about.
It's like the darkness between the stars is infinitely vaster than the stars themselves.
Yes. And the text leverages these standard set theoretic assumptions to show that the non-measurable subsets of omega form a collection whose richness completely overwhelms the sigma algebra.
Oh, wow.
The ineffable, the mystery, is not just, you know, the little scraps of reality left over after science does its job. It is the bulk of reality. Pattern is just the tip of the iceberg resting above the waterline.
Okay, but let me push back on that.
Go for it.
If mystery is the vast, overwhelming majority of reality, and this mathematical five-tuple is purely a tool of pattern, meaning it only maps the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
Doesn't that mean this entire mathematical appendix is ultimately doomed to fail? I mean, it's trying to describe the Tao, but it mathematically cannot touch the biggest part of it.
Well, it is doomed to fail if you mistake it for a literal description of reality. But the author is incredibly explicit about this limitation. They introduce the maps not territory principle.
Maps not territory. Okay, going back to our city map from the intro.
Exactly. The equations in the appendix are a map of the territory described by the philosophy. And like all maps, they are useful precisely because they simplify, you know, because they leave things out.
Right, because a map that was a one-to-one perfect replica of the city would just be another city.
Exactly.
It would be entirely useless for navigation because you couldn't, like, fold it up and put it in your pocket.
Right. Any formal definition or mathematical equation belongs entirely to pattern. Therefore, formalizing this philosophical system is an analogy. It is not a capture of reality. And this is where the metaphilosophical genius of the text really shines.
How so?
The author brings in Gödel's incompleteness theorem to mathematically prove the necessity of this failure.
Oh, man. Gödel's theorem is notoriously difficult, but if I remember correctly, it essentially proves that math has a ceiling, right?
Basically, yes. Gödel proved that any consistent formal system that is complex enough to do basic arithmetic will always contain statements that are true, but fundamentally unprovable within that system.
Unprovable.
Yeah. Imagine a highly advanced computer programmed to print every single true mathematical statement in existence. Mm-hmm. Eventually, that computer generates a sentence that says, this computer cannot prove this sentence.
Wait, so if the computer proves it, it just proved a falsehood, so the system is broken. But if it cannot prove it, then the statement is technically true, but the computer is incomplete. It's like a closed loop that forces the machine to admit its own limitations.
The system proves its own cognitive limits.
Yes.
And in the text, this is formalized as the self-reference theorem. What the mathematical system can describe is strictly less than the totality of the Tao.
Because it's just pattern.
Right. Every equation in this appendix belongs to pattern. It cannot touch mystery. But by formalizing it this rigorously, using a system that guarantees its own incompleteness, the equations trace the absolute furthest edge of human logic.
Wow.
They walk right up to the cliff face of comprehension, point outward into the fog, and essentially say, and this is a direct quote from the source, from here on, please listen to silence.
From here on, please listen to silence. I mean, that is a stunning way to conclude a mathematical proof.
Isn't it? It transforms the act of formalization into the ultimate expression of intellectual honesty.
So what does this all mean? We've talked about five tuples and sigma algebras and Gödel. But for you, the listener, you know, navigating a regular Tuesday, paying bills, managing relationships, doom scrolling on your phone, why should you care about these equations? Does this map actually help you navigate your real life? Like, how does understanding that the universe is mostly unmeasurable actually help you live better?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it fundamentally changes how you view your own mind and your daily anxieties. In the text, this is outlined in Postulate 6, cognitive finitude.
Cognitive finitude, okay.
It states that you face a double limitation as a human being. First, Mystery lies permanently beyond pattern. You can never fully figure out or optimize the felt experience of your life using logic alone.
Right.
And second, even within the realm of pattern, there are regions you cannot reach simply because you are a finite being with limited time and computing power.
And rather than seeing that as a tragic flaw, the text argues that this limitation is liberating.
It is hugely liberating. It cures us of the modern illusion that we can or should even try to achieve total comprehension. I mean, we live in a society that worships optimization, you know?
Oh, totally. Life hacks, data tracking.
Right. The cultural narrative suggests that if we just gather enough data or read enough productivity hacks or train a powerful enough algorithm, we will eventually conquer uncertainty. But this mathematical framework proves that conquering uncertainty is a structural impossibility.
It takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
You were mathematically designed to not know everything.
Exactly. It redefines what a successful, well-adjusted human life looks like. And the text introduces the concept of lucidity for this.
Lucidity.
Yes. Lucidity is not omniscience. It is not having all the answers or perfectly predicting the future. Lucidity is the simultaneous, balanced awareness of both pattern and mystery.
Holding both at once.
Right. It is an honest accounting of what you can map, combined with a deep reverence for the territory you cannot map.
You know, I was actually looking at how the sources define this mathematically, and I found it to be incredibly revealing. They say, lucidity is defined as the product of your pattern awareness and your mystery awareness.
Yes.
Like, it's a multiplication equation. Not addition, but multiplication.
And that mathematical distinction is vital to how we actually operate in the real world.
How so?
Because if lucidity were simply the sum of the two, like addition, you could have zero mystery awareness, but compensate for it by having off-the-charts pattern awareness, and you would still end up with a pretty high overall score.
But because it is a product, meaning multiplication, if either side drops to zero, your total lucidity vanishes entirely.
Exactly. It zeroes out.
So let's look at how that plays out in reality. Imagine someone who relies entirely on dating algorithms.
Oh, yeah. Classic example.
Right. They optimize their profile. They filter potential partners strictly by income, height, geographic radius. They're maximizing pattern. But when they actually sit down on a date, they lack any empathy. They can't read the room. And they completely ignore interpersonal chemistry. Their mystery awareness is zero.
And so their product is zero. The relationship fails because they mistook the algorithm for the human being.
Yes. And it works the other way too, right? Imagine a pure mystic who completely rejects science, refuses to look at their bank account, and just, like, relies on the vibes of the universe to pay their rent.
Right. Ignoring the map entirely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Their pattern awareness is zero. So their product is also zero, and their life collapses into chaos.
Neglecting either aspect drives lucidity towards zero. And the text actually refers to this state as obscuration.
Obscuration.
Yeah. Obscuration is the failure or the act of refusal to perceive one or both faces of reality. Breaking free of obscuration requires holding that tension, honoring the map, but never, ever forgetting the territory.
Which brings us to the ultimate takeaway for your daily life. Your value as a human being does not come from your utility. It does not come from your ability to produce, to compute, or to optimize your schedule, because those are all just functions of pattern.
And frankly, we have built machines that are vastly superior to us in the domain of pattern.
And that leads me to a final provocative thought I want you, the listener, to mull over after this deep dive ends. The sources talk about the distinction between intelligence and wisdom.
Yes, a very important distinction.
Intelligence, which is the ability to manipulate patterns, has essentially been outsourced to artificial intelligence. AI has made pattern recognition cheap and abundant. But wisdom, the capacity for lucidity, the ability to hold both pattern and mystery simultaneously, cannot be scaled by a machine.
No, because AI belongs entirely to the realm of pattern. It operates completely inside the sigma algebra.
Right.
It has no access to the non-measurable sets. It has absolutely no felt experience of the water flowing through the net.
So assume we reach a future where AI eventually masters all of the pattern in the universe. Like, it solves every measurable equation, predicts every market trend, and optimizes every supply chain.
Okay.
If AI claims the entirety of the map, will that make humanity's exclusive access to mystery, like our ability to actually feel the territory, our ultimate irreplaceable cosmic purpose? Or will it just make us an evolutionary stepping stone for a purely pattern-based universe?
Wow. This raises a fundamental question about the nature of existence itself. Are we the universe's way of calculating, or are we the universe's way of feeling?
Right.
Because if it is the latter, our finitude, our very inability to hold the whole map, is not a bug in the system. It is the exact feature that makes our experience meaningful.
Beautifully said. So the next time you find yourself staring at a map, whether it's a literal map of a city, a spreadsheet at work, or an algorithm's prediction of your behavior, take a moment. Acknowledge the brilliant mathematical beauty of the lines, the grids, and the sigma algebra. But then look up, take a deep breath, smell the air, feel the ground under your feet, and remember, the map is just there to help you wander through the endless, unmeasurable depth of the city.